When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is episode 43 of Two Girls Talking. I'm Katie Kylie, the afternoon drive host at 97.1 The River in Atlanta. And I'm here with my buddy Melissa Ruggieri, the music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She also does the music scene blog on AJC.com. We are Two Girls Talking. And since there's been news about him most recently, we decided to go back to Elton John because also he's appearing in Atlanta for two nights this weekend upcoming.
Again.
Yeah. But okay, Melissa, since you have to write about all these shows,
yes.
What is the last date of the tour currently?
The last dates currently are three nights at the O2 Arena in London in December 2020. So he's doing the hometown
over a year from now.
Kind of thing. Over a year from now. Now, remember, it started September 2018.
That's what I was wondering.
And he did say it was going to be a three-year tour. So it's actually a little bit less than a three-year tour. However, he has had to postpone several dates because he's gotten sick and, you know, or had things come up. Just last weekend, he had to cancel a show or postpone a show in Indianapolis. He said he was extremely unwell on
internet. Yeah, that was a little scary.
And then you also kind of wonder, is it Elton being a little dramatic? Because he does tend to be dramatic, as he will admit.
Well, he didn't want to disappoint his fans. I thought what he wrote was really cool.
And of course you believe him when he says stuff like that. Who knows if he was actually sick or his mother-in-law had passed away Thursday evening or overnight Thursday, so it could have just been, you know,
yeah,
brief.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
A lot going on and that kind of thing, but, you know, he was back on stage Monday in Nashville and everything's going to be cool, last I heard, as far as, you know, the weekend shows here in Atlanta. Now, of course, he was here last year. He did do the two shows here, which I went to.
You're not going to be here for these two, but I'm going to be here for these
two. I booked a trip without realizing what the dates were. I thought he was coming back the end of November again, like he did last year, but you're going this time.
I'm so excited. I held off. I was like, this cannot be the last time that Elton John's coming when those last tickets went on sale. And the thing is, they're super pricey.
They are.
Oh, gosh.
They're so expensive. I mean, to get in is $200. I mean,
And my tickets are like $400 and something.
Yes.
And this is like I bought them as soon as they went on sale. Mm-hmm. So this is face value tickets.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what am I doing?
But, I mean, front row, you're talking almost $2,000. That's face value. That is Ticketmaster.com face value.
That's why he's doing it for 3 years.
I know, exactly. I mean, he's got to keep those flowers coming.
Honestly,
the flower thing.
I know, but I do kind of have a problem with that because I know there are some really huge fans that there's no way that that's in their pocketbook to be able to do that.
And I do wonder, you know, like, that's the thing I've always respected about Garth Brooks is, especially back in the 90s when he was touring, he never had a concert ticket over $20. It was $20 flat rate. Even when he's been back on the road, they kind of top out at, you know, $150 maybe for the front row seats. He's always worked really hard to keep his ticket prices affordable for his fans because you're right. I mean, and that's what he said. He's like, you know, I know who my fan base is and I know that, you know, they work hard and they can't afford to spend $800 for a night out, which is basically what it's going to be by the time you buy pricey tickets, go to dinner, get a babysitter park.
It is. It's
exhausting.
Obscene, really. Yeah.
It's exhausting. I mean, my husband went to see Wicked last week and, you know, he works in the industry, so he didn't have to pay for his ticket. And he came home that night. He's like, somehow I still spent $78 today just by getting a drink at the venue, getting something to eat ahead
of
time, parking for $20. And that's without the ticket. So it is crazy. And Elton's isn't a show that there's that much production.
Right.
I mean, it's a great stage.
It's got a big band, but yeah.
It's a very cool stage, and you'll see it just the way it almost, it's sort of an interesting kidney-shaped stage almost, and then it's got this very cool backdrop with the Yellow Brick Road, well, a video screen during the show. And yes, he has a big band. These are guys who have been with him forever, which is cool too, because this is probably the last time you're going to get to see Davy Johnstone playing Funeral for a Friend.
He always reminds me of a Muppet.
He
looks like that little Muppet, the one that's in a band.
Yes. And Nigel, his drummer, I love the gloves he always wears and always like signs his drum head and stuff. So, you know, it's cool to see those guys. Is it worth $2,000? Probably not, but lots of things we pay a lot of money for aren't worth.
That's right. Well, and my point to you is, if you're listening and you haven't seen it yet, you're either going to have to save up for it, or I wonder if they're going to be recording any of these for any kind of
video. I would imagine there's going to be either a Netflix special or a DVD
release.
They've
got to do it, because has he even done that before?
He hasn't. And, you know, the fact that he just released that autobiography makes you think that, you know, he's going to be open enough to doing stuff like that. And plus, he can have all the control he wants over a release like that.
I feel like I was the last person to realize he has an autobiography out. And I was checking I'm an Audible person. And so I'm looking and it's like, me, Elton John. I'm like, what? Why did I not know that he had? And so that's why we're talking to you now, because it's a really fascinating book.
It is. It is. I'm, you know, I read the first, oh, I don't know, probably 100 pages of it. And then I skipped to the back because I wanted to see if he mentioned Atlanta or his years here in Atlanta. And I haven't really gotten to him talking about living here. He's talked about his addiction and then, you know, meeting somebody here who helped him get straight and that type of stuff. And, you know, and he mentions having to have some police from Atlanta actually stay the night at his house because they were, I forgot what the protest, there was somebody, people protesting about something. Yeah. And, you know,
because so it's very well known in Atlanta where he lives. He lives on Peachtree Street and it's a huge building, high rise. And it's right in the middle of Buckhead. So.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And he never tried
to hide that. I think it's very interesting that when he lived in Atlanta, I ran into him at the time. It was an A&P store. And I remember just doing a double take. I was going in at night and I grabbed the grocery cart from outside and I went in the door and he was coming out. I was like, I knew it was him after I saw him. But I just was like stunned, just sort of standing there going, that was Elton John. And he wasn't all decked out and all that stuff.
He's probably wearing a sweatsuit. I mean, that's usually his attire.
It was stunning. And I just love the idea. And I remember presenting him one time with something on stage and that he was so accessible in a town where he was living and nobody really bothered him.
And I think that's why he likes living
here. Still lives
here,
yeah.
I think when he's in town, he likes to, you know, keep the place
based
here.
Based out of Atlanta,
and be based out of here. He doesn't live here full time. Well, you know, he's on the road so much now anyway. But London is really, I think, the home base for them with the kids and all that. But yeah, I think that I'd always read that was one of the reasons he liked Atlanta is because people really didn't bother him. It was sort of like, oh yeah, it's, like you say, oh, it's Elton. I mean,
well,
if you are
starstruck by it, but you just are not going to say anything.
That's what I was
going to say.
If you had recognized him a split second earlier, you may have just said, hey, Elton John, you know, or hey, hi.
But it was kind of a proof thing, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. He disappeared
like
into the night.
Thing. Wow.
Right. Like, did I imagine that?
I would have looked really stupid running after him after that, yeah.
Elton, do you know my friend Vicky Locke?
But that's right. And what we want to encourage you to do, too, if you didn't hear our podcast earlier, one of my friends in radio actually spent a lot of time with him years ago when he was first living in Atlanta. And it's fun to hear her stories about him, too. And that was episode 31. And from what date, June?
It was back in June.
I think it's well worth your listening to because if you're an Elton John fan, it's a fun podcast to hear to hear Vicky talking about him. But
and Vicky really had a friendship with him. I mean, you know, she talked about going to his house over in England and having dinner there with her husband and David Furnish.
And describing the house and all that.
Yeah,
it's fun to listen to. Yeah.
Going through the drawers that he knew.
You know, she's
a
good friend of mine and I've never asked her about it because I always felt like, you know, that's sort of a private thing. And so that she would sit down with the two of us and talk about him like that, I thought was really cool.
She had some great stories. And it was cool to hear them from somebody who isn't necessarily, you know, another celebrity. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you might interview somebody.
She's in Atlanta for sure, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, we might interview somebody who knows Elton who would say, oh yeah, I've been to his house or whatever. But when it's just somebody who's like us.
It's a friend, that's right.
who was having dinner at Elton John's house. You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool. And it's very cool that he trusted that radio station and those people enough to talk to them. And it all stemmed from him wanting to get the word out about something that I can't remember what the story
Some organization, yeah, yeah. Or I think it was maybe his AIDS organization. And he talks about that a lot in the book, too, like, you know, just getting that started and with Ryan White and when Ryan died, him kind of sitting there thinking, you know what, I've got all this money, I've got this platform, and just writing a check isn't enough because I need to use this for good, you know, and that's what really prompted him to be so public with it. And then, you know, having the Vanity Fair or the Oscar party every year and just being, you know, getting people involved, the organization. They're actually doing something here later this week before he comes on Friday with the organization. And, you know, it's nice that he has such a heart for it. You know, it's genuine. You know that he experienced it with somebody he became very close to. And so, I mean, the thing I like about the book, and you're reading it, not listening, right? By the way, the audiobook, Taron Egerton, who played him in Rocket Man, is actually the narrator on the audiobook. And Elton is in it as well, but Taron is actually doing the bulk of it. So
that's
he's continuing
cool.
to play Elton John.
I was hoping to see pictures, so I got the book version online. And I don't even know how to find the pages that have got pictures. But
I couldn't help
you.
I'm old-fashioned. I like my books hardcover. I like my magazines glossy. I can't read that stuff online yet. But there are some cool pictures in there. There are two or three sections that are all photos, and I liked also being able to kind of flip around. But if you're more of the listening type, it's probably cool to hear Taron Egerton.
Yes.
But the thing that I love about the book so much is it's so Elton. I mean, the just his voice is so, and as far as I know, he didn't have a ghostwriter.
I'm wondering about that because it's not a small book.
It's not a small book, and it's very well written, but his personality and just his little snide comments or asides or even the self-deprecation that is so, you know, prominent in
yes.
him really comes through in so many of the things he says, and you could just picture him saying it, you know, so that's why I think it is mostly him who did the writing of this. So I don't know, what do you think of it so far?
Actually, I'm at the part now where he is out of school, but it's so interesting to read about his childhood and that his parents were, really, we're so blessed when we have parents that are
supportive
good people and I mean, and that are not alcoholic. Right. I mean, when you hear his story, it's just like, how did you survive? Not only how did you survive all this, how did you thrive? I mean, he's thriving now, you know?
And the grandmother, I think, was a big part
yes.
of why.
I
mean,
you
they
have
had
one
such
person
a
that believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes a long, long way. And that, I think, was beautiful in the movie.
Right.
They didn't go into it too much, but when you see Rocket Man, that relationship with the grandmother is very sweet.
You know, I can't remember if we talked about this on the last time we talked about the movie, but that scene where it seems like he names himself after looking at a photo of John Lennon. Not true.
It's not true.
It's
and
not
I
true.
That, we did talk about it because I said to Vicky, Vicky was like,
"You were so upset
I didn't know
about that."
Right? Yeah, it really bothered me. And I'm glad he tells right away in his autobiography where the name came from.
I mean, the Elton part in the movie is true, that one of his previous bandmates was named Elton and he thought that was cool, but it was Long John Baldry that he was playing with, you know, in his early years, that he thought, yeah, John, why not throw that in there?
But that was a funny scene.
I mean, I guess it could have been too hard to explain in a movie, but maybe not, because I think they mentioned him playing.
What would have done, I think, that when you start to realize where these people develop their sound.
The blues. His blues background.
And these guys were that big of a hero to him, you would think that he would want, and he does.
Right. And not that John Lennon wasn't, because obviously John was too, but it just, I know, it bothered me even more reading about the real way in the book than when I saw it in the movie.
And that's the thing, I remember Vicky going, "It wasn't that cool?" And I'm like, that's not true.
I know, my cousins did the same thing. We're sitting there, she's like, "I didn't know he named himself after John Lennon." I'm like, you know, I gotta look that up. I'm not sure that's true.
And now
we know it's not. But you know, and meeting Bernie, you know, is also such a pivotal point in his life, because, you know, you look at these guys, 50 years of friendship and music making, and
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Bernie must be. I don't know Bernie at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about him at all, except that he's just a great lyric writer. But the idea that, you know, Elton John's difficult.
Yes.
You know that this guy is a pain in the ass.
Yes.
And that Bernie, who seems like he definitely kind of sits back a little bit in this relationship, would put up with that for so many years, and they never fought.
They never fought. And I guess Bernie is the perfect compliment, that he could take the background and just be happy there and say, okay, go knock yourself out of having a screaming fit. Go have a tantrum.
Yeah.
I know it's
tiara.
Not directed at me, you know, and, you know, I don't care. It's fine. Here's another song for you to write music to. And when you think back at how young they both were, though, when they met, and some of the, you know, the lyrics to your song, it's almost like when you hear about, you know, George Michael writing some of the, like, Careless Whisper, I think he wrote when he was 16 or 17. And, you know, Bernie had to have been 18 or 19 when he wrote your song. To have that kind of poetic depth at that young of an age, I mean, you think back to we were 18 or 19, you know, I was writing for my college newspaper or whatever, but it was not your song.
And to think of how quickly they wrote that song.
Yes.
I heard that they wrote that song over breakfast, literally. Yeah. I mean, it was, and some of it's nonsensical. That's like, you know, the America song, Horse With No Name, that was this huge hit. For there ain't no one for to give you no pain. I mean, when you hear some of those lyrics, you're like, okay, what are you talking about? And sat on the roof, kicked off the, you know, some of the stuff is just very simplistic. But holy cow, it's one of those songs, I can remember the first time I ever heard it, I'm like, I feel like I know this song.
Well, that's the thing.
So beautiful.
And so vivid, you know, like sat on the roof, kicked off the moss.
Because
you're exactly, you're picturing somebody.
And the eyes, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Very, very,
I mean, so
beautiful.
You know, such vividness. Speaking of Bernie, he actually has an art show that's here now in Atlanta. It just opened a couple of weeks ago. It's called Bernie Taupin, True American. It's on display here at the Bill Lowe Gallery in Buckhead through November 22nd. So if you happen to be in town, you want to go check it out, go check it out. He apparently uses, you know, we've gotten to talk to a lot of rock star artists the last couple of years.
I was hoping we could talk to him.
I know. He was only doing
one
interview, and it wasn't us, but that's okay. I'm not going to be in town
anyway. Little does he know what he's missing out on.
Yeah, no kidding. He could have been on Two Girls Talking.
That's right.
but one of the things that's so cool about talking to these other people is just learning the types of art that they're interested in and the types of equipment, if you will, that they use to create their art. Bernie uses a lot of found art and a lot of spray paint and a lot of textured surfaces is his thing. And from looking at the pictures, because I haven't seen
pictures,
it
they
in
they're
person.
Guitars. Yes. I mean, they were like real guitar. That and a Coca-Cola bottle. And right. I was like, that's interesting. And you wonder about him. That is very telling about somebody to see what kind of art they are. That's very big. It's very bold. It's like,
yes.
Wow, that doesn't seem like his persona, does
it? I know,
it
doesn't. Maybe that's how he expresses
very
himself.
Very cool
that's
stuff.
That's how he gets it out, rather than just writing songs quietly and handing the lyrics off to Elton. Maybe the art is the other channel. But and it, this thing has toured around the country, and it's probably, you know, going someplace after it is here, but it is going to be here for almost another month. So, you know, definitely
check it out.
And
find out, look it up, because it may be somewhere near you if you're not in the Atlanta area and you're listening to us. But I think that's fascinating.
I'm sure if you just Google Bernie Taupin art gallery show,
you'll be able to see some of it. It's cool. But So Elton John finishing this tour supposedly in December of 2020, going to be in Atlanta for two shows this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. The tickets are super pricey, so.
It's worth it, though. It's such a.
Well, if you're a huge fan, you have to just save your money and do it.
That's it. I mean, and it's such a thorough show. Of course, there are always going to be songs when you have a catalog that big that, oh, he didn't play my favorite, whatever. But, you know, he's got to play the top hits. I mean, he has to.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going to see him on the farewell tour? And
not hearing the songs that you really,
he left Someone Save My Life Today
out or something. He did Funeral Friend, right?
Yes. Well, they did when I saw him. He did a Funeral for a Friend. And, you know, when he came last year, I remember the week before the tour, the show's here, he had canceled a couple of dates earlier that week because he had an ear infection, and we were worried that he was going to postpone. But I think because it was Atlanta, he was like, I got to play Atlanta. And he complained a lot that night about not being able to hear, but, you know, he sounded good. He sounded really good. But I guess there, you know, there are going to be nights wherever you see him that he might not be 100%. He's not a young guy. That's why he's retiring from touring. It's a grueling schedule. They're actually heading over to Australia at the end of November, and they're going to be there for like 6 weeks and then coming back to the States and doing
Europe. They are coming back to the States. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, definitely look it up. You can check on his website and find out where he's going to be when. But it's worth seeing for sure. I'm excited about seeing it this weekend.
I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
And if you haven't seen Rocket Man, which it blows me away how many people haven't, I think people didn't want to see it because of the Queen.
Yes, I agree.
I think they were just like, it can't be that good. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just don't maybe want to see the gay sexual style. It's just, it's so small. You know, the only reason why I'm saying that is because that's what I heard from people. They were just kind of like,
it's so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. That's not that it's insignificant. It's a huge part of his life, obviously.
But I thought it was very tasteful. All of it.
It was totally fine. It's part of his life story. I mean, you can't. And, you know, there was criticism about them sort of glossing over that in the Queen story, which I don't necessarily think they did, even though some people weren't happy with that. But I actually liked Rocketman better as a movie than the Queen movie.
I enjoyed it, too, more. I think it's because it's so creative.
That's
so ridiculously creative.
That's it.
And I thought that guy, what's his name again, the
Taron
actor?
Taron Egerton.
When I saw the previews, I was like, oh, his voice doesn't
saying,
sound that
like,
good.
Yeah,
I was like, holy cow. And I'm so glad that it was him. He was great. You don't even think twice about it.
Yes.
So do see the movie if you haven't seen it yet. It's really, really worth seeing. It's
and
lovely.
I think creativity is the right word, because the thing I didn't like about the Queen movie is that it felt very formulaic TV movie of the week story to me, whereas this takes things in a totally different direction in a fantastical way with some of those scenes, like the Rocket Man, bottom of the pool.
And when he's walking down the hallway, when he's like
in the beginning,
and then there are sequins popping off and he's wearing that feather hat. Right. I was just like, this is already brilliant. They're just it's just beautifully done. The same guy directed it, right? I believe it's the same director that they ended up using at the end of the Queen movie. But of course, he was on this Elton movie the whole time.
Right.
So. It's worth seeing. The book, I'm already thinking, is fantastic.
The book is great.
It's
and Rocketman is out on DVD, by the way.
Oh, good.
And if you happen to be on a flight anytime soon that has the movies on it, it's also showing on flights, because I just watched it a couple
weeks
ago.
So it's all about Elton right now, but it's certainly well worth it. And
I think Elton would say it's always about Elton.
Exactly. And check out that old podcast if you get a chance. I think it's from June 10th. But it's also episode 31 that we talked to Vicky.
And you can
about
find
Elton
it
John.
Where all of our podcasts are, wherever you find podcasts.
That's right. We love to get your feedback and hear from you.
TwoGirlsTalking11@gmail.com, number 11. Or our Facebook page, Two Girls Talking.
We
as
need
well.
To start posting. On our
I
Facebook.
Know. We say that every week. We really do. You're the
We're
Facebook
going to
person.
Do it. Yeah, but you need to become the Facebook person.
I know.
Person.
I know.
Because you've got some pictures. I want to see you with Rick Springfield in the ocean.
Oh, that's right. I have to find that.
Yes.
You haven't forgotten about
that.
No,
I have not. That's like in my brain.
Find it. Okay.
So have a great week.